is the Reformed Witness Hour, a radio ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. This is a 30-minute program given to witness that God saves His elect people in absolute sovereignty without dependence on the will and work of man. Today is the Lord's Day. The Christian Church recalls and celebrates the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Of course, as believers, we do this every Sunday, for Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week is the reason for our gathering for worship each Sunday. But in a special way, we remember this wonder of God's grace today. And so we at the Reformed Witness Hour bring you a special Easter message. In the past few weeks, our radio pastor has led us through the steps that took our Lord to the cross. Now today he takes us to the victory of Christ over the grave as we consider the risen Lord and the gathered church based on Luke 24 verses 36 through 46.
What a day that had been, the day in which our Savior rose from the dead. For the disciples it was both strange and surprising. At one moment they were cast into perplexity and doubt, and the next brought to wonder and joy. It began, we read in Matthew, with a great earthquake, and after that God dispatched an angel from heaven to roll away the stone from our Lord's tomb, not to allow our Lord to exit the tomb, for he was already risen, but to roll away the stone to display the obvious fact that he was not there. When the angel appeared, the Roman guard that Pontius Pilate had stationed at the tomb skedaddled in panic back to Jerusalem, and the angel sat down to wait for the company of women filled with grief to appear at first dawn by the tomb. There he preached the gospel. "He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" The disciples had been together throughout that weekend after the death of Jesus on Good Friday in an upper room, and they were filled with grief. And throughout the resurrection day, the gospel narratives tell us that they received news that the Lord was risen, that the tomb was indeed empty. Mary Magdalene was the first one to burst in upon them on that day, and she suspected that the hatred of our Lord's enemies simply knew no bounds, and that they had taken his body out of the tomb and hid the body from them. Two of them, Peter and John, upon hearing these words, raced to the tomb to see for themselves. And throughout the day, there came to the disciples reports of the appearance of our Savior. The Lord appeared first to Mary Magdalene, who had returned to the tomb in her sorrow, and tenderly had made himself known to her by speaking her name as only he could, Mary, and then cautioning her, "Touch me not, that is, I have not come back as it was, but I must ascend to your Father and to my Father." The Lord appeared to the group of women who were returning from the tomb, and when they saw him, they fell at his feet and worshipped him, and the Lord said to them, "Tell my brethren and Peter that I am risen." We learn from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 34, that in that resurrection day, the Lord appeared personally to Simon Peter, the disciple who had so terribly denied his Lord. We're not told any of the details of that private and personal meeting, for it was the restoration of his dear son, Peter, and that was very private. Then, later in that day, we read of the two travelers who traveled to Emmaus, probably Cleophas and Luke, who were troubled with all the things that had transpired over that event-filled weekend, and the Lord, hiding himself from their eyes, appeared to them on the road to Emmaus and walked with them. And when they came to their house, the Lord explained to them the Holy Scriptures and ate with them, and it was as he broke bread that he revealed himself to them And they responded, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures of his resurrection?" Then on the resurrection day, we read in Luke chapter 24, the last part of Luke 24, that our Savior appeared to the gathered church, that is, he appeared to his disciples, who were again gathered together in an upper room. The two travelers to Emmaus had retraced their steps 7 miles in hurry to come back to Jerusalem and found the 11 disciples gathered together with the other ones who believed in the Lord. 11 disciples, actually 10, for Thomas was not there. He was nursing his griefs and his doubts. So there was a group of some 20 to 30 of the Lord's closest friends, and into that group, into the gathered church, on resurrection evening, our Lord appears, and he appears to open their hearts to the gospel of the resurrection. We gather today, too, on the resurrection day. Every Sabbath is the resurrection day. Every Sabbath is the Lord's day. We gather with our risen Savior, for he is truly here. Jesus Christ is gathered today with his church. No one need open the door for him, for he is here by his Spirit, who had said to us, "Lo, I am with you always." You say, "I want to see him with my human eye. I want to touch him." But then I must point out to you, as we read these wonderful resurrection accounts in the Scriptures, that it was not the Lord's physical presence which convinced the church of the gospel of the resurrection, but rather, verse 45, Luke chapter 24, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." This is the way that the risen Jesus makes himself known unto us. He makes himself known through the gift of faith implanted in the heart by the Holy Spirit, and then through the Holy Scriptures as they are opened to our understanding. Communion with your risen Lord Jesus today and always is your need. It's the answer to every burden placed upon your heart by God. If you do not have communion with him, you have no comfort. If you live your life far away from this risen Savior, the call is repent or perish. The risen Savior, through his living word, by his Spirit, makes himself known to us, that we might have communion with the Lord of life. I would very much have liked to have been there that night when the Lord Jesus appeared to his church in the upper room. That room was buzzing with talk of Jesus. Emotions ran high from fear and perplexity to wonder and to joy. They were all talking of Jesus and the events of that day, the resurrection day, so much so that when the two travelers returned from Emmaus and knocked on the door, ready to tell them of the marvelous appearance of Jesus to them and of what he had told them, when the two travelers appeared at the door, they couldn't get a word out edgewise, for they were greeted with the words, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." You can picture that room in your mind. One would say that earthquake in the morning was no coincidence. Another would say, "What was it that the centurion said at the cross? Truly this was the Son of God?" Another would say, "John, you and Peter ran to the grave and saw that the grave clothes were undisturbed, but the napkin was folded off by itself." To the women they would ask, "Now tell us again, what did the angel say to you? You say you actually held the Lord by his feet?" And then they would say to Mary Magdalene, "You say that he said that he was going to ascend to his Father and to our Father?" Travelers to Emmaus, "You're telling us that he actually broke bread, and in the breaking of the bread he simply vanished from your presence?" Binding them all together in that room was a love for Jesus that had been implanted in their heart by God, and a consuming desire to understand what it meant that he, their Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, was risen from the dead. Now we should note that. We should simply note that the Lord Jesus, by the power of his Word and Spirit, comes to a gathered church that is abuzz, that is astir in love about Him. Let me read you the comments of a great reformer, John Calvin, concerning Luke chapter 24. He says these simple words, "The Lord does not come to the disinterested. He does not appear to spiritual sandbags, but He comes to those who wonder after Him." And in all of their talk and in all of their wondering on that resurrection day, in all of their perplexity and questions, it was very plain that there was forming among the disciples a common conception, a natural response to the resurrection. We would have been no different. They were concluding that the Lord is risen in the sense that He has come back to this life. Something like Lazarus, whom they saw raised 4 days out of the dead. They could not put it all together. Why does He disappear? Why doesn't He just stay with us? Are we dreaming when we see Him? Is He risen? Then why this coming and this going? And it was then, as they were all astir and abuzz in the talk of Jesus, that we read, "Jesus appeared. As they thus spake," Luke 24:36, "Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." He appeared. Now that's something that you and I don't do. He let His presence be known. He was there. He simply now let His presence be known. You say, how did He get into that room? For it was locked. Children, did perhaps Jesus sneak in unobserved when the two travelers up to Emmaus had returned to that room? No, that's unbelief. This is the resurrection. His body, His human earthly body, is now raised to heavenly, immortal life. Don't think about physics. Don't think about matter. Think about the marvel of the victory of Jesus Christ. The disciples believed He was a ghost. Verse 37, "And they were terrified and affrighted." I guess so. They were shocked and surprised and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a disembodied spirit. And the Lord, we read, upbraided them. He says in verse 38, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." He showed them His hands and His feet. It was Jesus. So that we read in verse 41, "And while they yet believed not for joy," that is, still they did not believe, not because of cynicism, but for joy. They were giddy with joy, with excitement. It is Jesus. But how? And He asked them for food. Verse 41, "Do you have any meat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and He took it and did eat it before them. And they all stood watching as He shewed the fish, and sucked the honeycomb, and spit out the wax. Questions? Jesus is risen. Risen to immortality of the body. Risen to heavenly, imperishable life of the physical body. He is risen. His body now has attained everlasting life. He is no longer subject unto death. There is no death in His body. He is changed. He is renewed. He stands before God, perfect in the body. He has obtained eternal life in His body. He has broken down death's door. He has destroyed the power of sin. He has not cheated death. He didn't get out somehow. He has vanquished death. He has destroyed sin and death. He has done all that is necessary to bring us, sinners, both body and soul, to the very heart of God. Do you grasp the reality of faith? "I am He that liveth and am alive forevermore," He says in Revelation 1. "I am the resurrection and life," John 11. "He is risen, and whosoever is risen with Him shall live forever." In one word, it is victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be unto God who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, this risen Savior, all who belong to Him today have victory, absolute victory over sin and death. That's why His first words to the gathered church, and always pay attention to Jesus' first words, are so crucial. Peace be unto you, unto my church. That's the blessing of this Resurrection Sunday. Peace. Peace with God. Peace in my soul. Peace in this life. Glorious, glorious peace. The gospel of peace. Have you ever noticed that the first thing the minister of the gospel will say to the gathered church on Sunday? Have you ever noticed that? He raises his hands and he says, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God. Shall we take that word peace and say, well, it was nothing more than the familiar Jewish greeting, shalom, good morning. Oh, no, no, no. When Jesus said peace, this is the Resurrection Sunday. This is Jesus the Lord who has come to His church. Peace, sinner. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. The risen Savior says to you, burdened sinner, child of God, filled with shame, who can't look up into heaven, grief stricken over your sin, who asked the question today, how can God have anything to do with me? He greets you this day, the day of His resurrection, with the word, peace be to you. The risen Savior speaks to you who are tried and tossed on the waves of the trial and anxious care that the Heavenly Father sends into your life. You are asking today the question, but how can this work for my good? You are anxious and disturbed. You are worried about your children and grandchildren. You conclude that all of this is against me. You say, but if the Lord sends this to me, I won't be able to bear that. Lord, please, don't do that. I don't want that will of God to be done. The risen Savior stands before you today and says, peace. Peace. Which means that our relationship to God, the living and the only God, is secure. He means that the holiness and the mercy, the justice and the love of God have kissed themselves in the cross of Jesus Christ. He means to say, because I died and now am risen, you need never be fearful to see God face to face. But in the eye of God is grace. This peace is Sabbath peace or Sunday peace. It is a peace that is especially dispensed on Sabbath, on Sunday, the day that He arose, the day that He came to the gathered church, the day in which He says, work is done. I've done it all. Sunday is the day that you close your shop, you park your truck, you put away your business books, you stop your entertainments, which whittle away your time, and you come and you gather with the people of God and you hear Jesus say, peace to you. Jesus Christ has not missed one Sabbath day, one Sunday, for 2,000 years. Every Sabbath day, He seeks out those who love Him, who are gathered in His name, and He enters into their midst, for He is always there, and He says, peace to you. Risen Jesus, Lord and Conqueror, who has obtained a complete salvation, on the Sabbath day imparts heaven unto faith, and pours down blessing into the soul, and brings all the benefits of His death and resurrection, clean and pure, into the hearts of His children. Thomas, one of the 11, was not there that first resurrection Sabbath. And Thomas spent the whole week without peace, he dragged himself through that week. But the disciples, who gathered together on the Lord's day, and the Lord appeared among them, had peace. They could say to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord. All is well. Victory. Look up, man. Look up. All is salvation." This is why we come to church. This is why we go to church twice on Sunday. This is why we gather around the Word. For through the Word, the risen Jesus gives peace. We are given communion with Jesus in perfect peace today, the same way that the disciples received it on the first resurrection day. We receive it through faith in the Scriptures. We read in verses 44 through 46 of Luke 24, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of me in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." It was not that the disciples that night could actually touch him. It was not that that brought the victory of the resurrection to their souls. It was not that they could observe him eating and chewing and swallowing that caused the light to come into their hearts. Jesus, now hear it well, Jesus could and Jesus will walk on the earth again. You will see him. You will see him do marvelous and awe-filled things, but the mere fact of the physical sight and the mere fact that he is on, that will appear on the earth, will not give anyone peace. To the contrary, it will bring, apart from God's grace, fear, great, great fear. It is not his mere physical presence which is the power to bring us to believe. It is not my preaching. It is not anything of man, but it is this. The living Jesus must open your heart. The risen Lord of life must impart into your heart the gospel. He who once parted the walls of the Red Sea must also open your heart and pour into your heart the Holy Scriptures. He must soothe you. He must heal you. He must teach you. And he must comfort you with the Holy Scriptures. All the things that are written in the Scriptures concerning him. And Jesus, the risen Jesus, now, through the Holy Scriptures and by the preaching of the gospel, appears to his children. I see him. Don't you? Lord, Conqueror, Eternal Son, Ruler, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Bow down and worship him. And I hear him, don't you? He speaks peace. Son, thy sins are forgiven. Daughter, new life is imparted. Weary child of God, the hope of glory is yours. The risen Jesus appears with his gathered church through his word and by his spirit. We see him, we hear him, and he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Let us pray. Thanks be to God for the victory that is given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's message was based on Luke 24, verses 36 through 46, and was entitled, "The Risen Lord and the Gathered Church." You may have a printed copy or an audio recording of this message by writing to the Reformed Witness Hour at P.O. Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501. At your request, we will place your name on our free monthly mailing list. You will receive 4 messages in an attractive booklet each month. Here's our address again: The Reformed Witness Hour, P.O. Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1-800-795-4951. You may also email us from our website at reformedwitnesshour.org. We do look forward to hearing from you.
The Reformed Witness Hour is brought to you by the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. The PRCA is dedicated to the proclamation of the truth of Scripture concerning God, His kingdom, and the salvation of His people, based on the fundamental principle of the absolute sovereignty of God. The PRCA stand in the tradition of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, and have as their creeds the three forms of unity, namely, the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort. And we believe that the truth of Scripture is accurately and thoroughly summarized in these creeds. The PRCA have congregations in various places throughout the United States and Canada. If you can hear this broadcast, you are probably near to one of our congregations, and we would invite you to contact them for more information. The best way to learn more about our denomination or one of our congregations is on our website at prca.org. There you will find information about our denomination's history and origin, our individual congregations, our seminary, this radio broadcast, our publications, and the publications of the Reformed Free Publishing Association, as well as many other valuable links and resources. We invite you to explore our website at prca.org. However, if you cannot access the Internet and would still like information about the Protestant Reformed congregation nearest to your area, please send your request to the Reformed Witness Hour, P.O. Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501.
We pray that you have been blessed by the Easter message you heard on today's Reformed Witness Hour broadcast. The gospel of our risen Savior gives sinners the only true and lasting hope in this world of death and defeat. We hope that you will find us here again, whether by radio or internet, to hear the good news of salvation by God's sovereign grace.